So that is our kinship with water, our kinship with the ocean. For as long as humans have recorded history, our imaginations have been tied to water and to the ocean. And we say, you know, what species would poison the collective water supply? And we say, a species that had lost its mythology of conscious kinship. So only a healing of our imagination will allow us to heal the ocean, and only the healing of the ocean will allow us to heal our imaginations, both. You know, and this water as sacred, again, this defiant, powerful. And look at the atmosphere in Standing Rock, so powerful and wonderful ally, Faith Spotted Eagle, you know, where the veterans come to apologize. And it was on Custer's birthday, December 5th, right? So we go, oh, there's one less angry ghost. Gone away. There we go. And to set the atmosphere of respect. You know, and remember, the word respect means to look at again. You know, to set the atmosphere of respect going, this is what we're doing. You're welcome to participate in this atmosphere. So even with all the people coming and building their tents and yurts in the floodplain and being guided to gently, you know, do the thing and the incredible, you know, again, they maintained, you know, peaceful, loving heart, even with the incredible violence thrown at them. It's powerful, powerful magic. When we say, you know, the ancestors are beckoning, come back to this ancient deep place before sallying forth. It says, you know, for all of us, the re-wedding of activism and animism is the unbeatable combination, which again, we're seeing so much in Standing Rock, that's what works. To protect water, become like water. You know, to protect wolves, become more like wolves. And I love in The Wizard of Earthsea where the young wizard, through arrogance, has opened a great rent in the world and invited in a dark and horrible, kind of like now, it's like campaign coverage, all right? You know, and so he goes back to his original authentic teacher. He's being pursued by this demonic thing that wants to take over him and use his skills for up to no good. And his teacher does not admonish him, does not wag fingers, but just goes, So here's what you got to do. Go back to the waterfall that gave you your true name. You know, and as you watch the waterfall falling into the stream, do not be like the stick swirled in the stream. Become the stream. And then you may go forth, and the pursued becomes the pursuer. Then you can reverse the whole dynamic. So that's part of what we're doing here, disguised as whatever we think we're doing. You know, and we go, right. So we're going back into a deep place, again, 20,000 years of ancestors behind us all over the world. This has always been a powerful time. You know, and as we know, again, those of you who've been coming for a while, you know, wonderful chant that Starhawk taught me in 1981. That's right. I left Washington, D.C. on Reagan's inauguration going, that's it, and now I'm back. but it is, you know, the longest night, the wheel is turning, what will we give to the night, right? That's part of our dynamic. So, you know, we want to prime the pump a little bit, too. What do we want to throw into the cauldron? We'll be doing this in some time. But, you know, the Electoral College into the cauldron, just a little bit of... a little bit of etiquette when you're invited to shout things out. We don't use proper names, so we don't throw Trump into the cauldron. But the demon possessing Trump, maybe, you know. You know, and it's again, you know, we're allowed to set in motion the power of fierce blessing. You know, we're allowed to spiral forth anything that we would happily welcome. You know, so when Wanda Sykes said, Rush Limbaugh wants Obama to fail, I want Rush Limbaugh's kidneys to fail, we go, it's cute, but it's not trickster. What trickster would do is we would wish Rush Limbaugh's kidneys to work so well that they flush all the poison out of his system and leave him in a pool of befuddled innocence, right? So more like that kind of dynamic. But yes, the Electoral College, you know, into the cauldron, we'll be doing some of these, whoa, fun things. There's also, how many people, did anybody here way back read the Illuminatus trilogy? It was a kind of, there you go, okay. And I remember they were up, it's a complex, interesting, fantastic conspiracy, fabulous tale that's also liberating us from false conspiracies. But they said, the news media uses a word that you can hear but not know that you heard, and it creates intense paralysis and anxiety. And the word is fenord, right? So the news people would go, good evening, fenord. And we wouldn't hear Fanord. We would just get a sense of paralytic agitation and like, oh, whaley, whaley, we can't do anything. So I love that, Fanord. So we're going to throw Fanord into the cauldron just for the fun of it. Fanord, you know, the bamboozling, the bamboozling. And then from Terry Pratchett's last novel that he wrote when he was dying, The Shepherd's Crown, it's so beautiful and wonderful and pertinent to us in so many ways. There's dark forces invading the beautiful Shire-like place, and the fairy queen, who was bad but who has turned, is talking to the witches, right, and saying, you have no idea what you're up against, the false glamour. And the witches say, we're witches, we're not subject to such things. And the fairy queen says, let me just give you a little taste of that fun. And all the witches go, ah, it's sort of like Galadriel with the ring. Ah, but I am truly the beloved of Saint Germain, and I am one of the 144 fantastic people, and I will, whatever the thing is. And then, oh, I'm nothing, I'm just a terrible person. And then they go, wow, that was really strong, the false glamour. And so she teaches them a chant, Yon Ton Tethera, which dispels false glamour. So we might just do it together. Yon Ton Tethera. Yon Ton Tethera. Again, if you watch the news on TV, remember Yon Ton Tethera. Yon Ton Tethera. Yes, and I was muttering that during all the conventions, you know, and there, Yon Ton Tethera. Snap, snap out of it, snap out of it. Because we are here to be, again, citizen tricksters, agents of snapping people out, intrinsically liberating. You know, may our speech, our manner, our story, you know, our metaphor be in accord with our dedicated hearts, and may our fundamental art form of liberating blessing, you know, may we tease, you know, part of the power of the winter solstice is we can't even be who we want to be by ourselves. You know, that's why we make vows going, oh, this is the direction I want to go in, hold me to this, right? That our manner of relating be intrinsically a liberating blessing, and we go, And social media and Facebook, you know, we all blow it. Like in fairy tales, you know, we blow it. As Robert Bly says, you can get eaten by the witch 3 or 4 times, you know, but if it goes on for years, you'll get pretty thin. But so we all blow it. We all forget to ask the right question at the Grail Castle. We all get booted out. You know, we all blow it, especially on Facebook. I quipped to myself, Facebook was so rough today, I unfriended myself, going, wow, there we go. Going, I've had it with me. Yeah, and people very thin-skinned. You know, I posted a wonderful thing that Van Jones was doing, and somebody was like, well, that's, you know, terrible and whatever. And all I did was write the words, that's silly, and bang, I was blocked. You know, I was like, within seconds, I go, that's really thin-skinned, boy, wow. So Facebook is quirky, but you can feel collective intelligence on Facebook and Twitter, in which also you can feel when it's time to leave. Like, no, don't react to that, right? Because the part of the dynamic of what's the con and what's the liberating trick, since we love freedom and democracy, to react to anything is not free, but to carry around a portable prison for oneself and others. To cultivate an ever larger repertoire of responses, you know, is to be allied with nature's evolutionary ingenuity. So we want to be first responders, not first reactors, right? Going, oh, it's so terrible. And it's like, no, first responders. And part of what we also want to throw into the cauldron is being snookered into polarity, going, whoa, the thing, because that, again, that's just heat in an already too hot world, you know, and then the inviting in of the unifying story. So this is how I want to be. I do often blow it, but, you know, when people kind of come up, but that's why we're practicing the art of peace, which is spiraling. Remember Morihei Ueshiba's great little handbook on Aikido, remembering all of our skill set now, you know, snapping out of being bamboozled. And in the art of peace, it says, do not stare at your enemy's weapon, he will terrify you. Do not stare at your enemy's eyes, he will mesmerize you. Create your own magnetic field, and then you can sit anywhere you like. Right, really useful. And again, allying oneself with the forces of nature, you know, the forces of beauty. You know, right after 9/11, I got to take a plane out to California and work with a big event, you know, and I love somebody handed me a note before I went on stage going, thank you for not giving up on beauty. It's like, whoa, that's really great. And to everybody right now, the backstage gods go, thank you for not giving up on beauty. Beauty is powerful. And we see it, you know, in so many ways. And again, we remember strategic cultural advantage goes to those cultivating an intimacy with the power of symbols and dreams and metaphor. These are magnetizing invitations. They reside in our mythological DNA, you know, to be kindled, to be brought forth. Yeah, you know, many people who are here that I've learned things from, you know, and learned things in addressing. And so to a friend who was angry, I go, what would be the blessing? I would wish your anger to turn into desire, you know. So for all of us, may we have our anger, our Mars, turn into desire, meaning angry about this, so what do we desire? Again, desire is the thing. So it's good to be aroused, and then to cook it into desire. And then a universal desire. Doesn't all life seek safety? Don't we all want that? You know, with the wave of the hand. Language, you know, into the cauldron we might want to put privilege, right? Privilege etymologically means, privilege means private law. We go, well, there you have it. That's so wonderful. It's so revealing. We want to throw, you know, metaphors that are not serving our fundamental dedication into the cauldron. I'm very eager and enthused to throw into the cauldron the metaphor of holding people's feet to the fire, right? Because that's a torture metaphor, right? That's Gitmo. You know, why not toast us some more and, you know, offer them chocolate around the thing? You know, and also wolf in sheep's clothing. It's like, no more dissing wolves and no more dissing sheep, you know, you know, and any animal employed metaphorically to diss humans only does a disservice to the animal, right? You know, what a weasel. Oh, sorry, weasels. Weasels only diss other weasels by calling them, like, that weasel's so human, right? It really goes the other way around. This crucial concept of ally etiquette, Jornus the trickster says, the last ideas associated with Jornus are democracy, equality, synchronicity. So we want to tease democracy into all our manners of relating. And I was wondering, you know, what does democracy, equality, synchronicity, how do they connect? And really, no sooner did I wonder, because wonder is a wonderful thing, certainty's a booby prize, wonder's great. You know, the backstage ancestors are like, ooh, to not know, but to be full of wonder is a great accomplishment. It's like, look, those people have run out of certainty, now the divine can find them and inspire them, you know? So to not know is crucial, but to wonder, again, wonder attracts the kind of revelation coming on in. And in that Neptunian wonder, I forgot what the next thing was. But anyway, if anybody knows what I was going to say, that, oh, right, oh yes, ally etiquette. Right, because no sooner did I wonder that, right, then events stage themselves in a very clear way that on stage we have different roles, but backstage we're all equal. And if our manner of address is equal, hi, how you doing, straight across, which doesn't mean nice, because nice comes from nescient, which means ignorant. We can be spicy. I like Dorothy Parker saying, I get up every morning and I brush my teeth and sharpen my tongue. Satire is liberating. Sarcasm is a con. You know, there we go. But when we treat each other as equals, hey, straight across, the rate of synchronicity increases dramatically. And I know this is true. I just proffer it to experiment with. You know, and it's very heartening because it means that, you know, the dementors of doom, more money, more lawyers, more whatever. But we, if we treat each other well, straight across, hey, how you doing? Then there is the serendipitous synchronicity of the right conversation, the right person, the right funding, the right thing. And we are here now, cooperators are standing by, you know, eager by our internal dedication to unfurl, you know, a resonant field of increased serendipity and synchronicity. Like, again, it's so heartening. It so moves our kinship, just even when, you know, when Virginia Daly sent me the thing going, and the dream is associated with hexagram 18. I go, I just threw that. Oh, God, there's meaning in the world. You know, again, synchronicity is so heartening, right? And so we're entering into this field of positive intrigue. Remember the great utopian Fourier said, in any ideal community, we must allow for the passion for positive intrigue. Because when people conspire to do something good, it draws upon more elegant parts of the psyche than before. And I realize that we need our Ogun song. Thank you. Okay, that's good. Okay. And just to set that up a little bit, you know, we say all the myths are hovering around us. You know, myths don't end, they get put on pause, and we want to hit play, right? So the Arthurian legends, and December 21st, the winter solstice, is King Arthur's birthday. It's the birth of the world redeemer in each person's heart. That's what we're here dedicating to. What do we want to be born in our hearts this season? What qualities do we want? What qualities of trickster? What qualities of backup do we want? And so remember, the Arthurian legends, it was an experiment of the round table comprised of shining, radiant, equal individuals. You know, and the experiment was to have spiritual people engaged in governance, right? But at what passes for the end of the Grail legend, the Arthurian legends, all the really hip spiritual people go away, right? And that's why the world is as it is. Merlin goes off with the nymph, and Arthur goes off to Avalon to take Pilates classes with the priestesses, you know, whatever, to await the world's call at a time of dire danger. And we go, now would be really good, you know, to call back positive yang, positive masculine leadership, to dance equally with positive feminine leadership. And here's a song to help us do that.
This one is Call and Response.
Oh, goody.
So the first part is not, but when I say ile re, you're going to say ile re. We'll go back and forth. And the other call and response part is the ay-ya-ya-ya-ya-yay. Very simple. So here we go.
The positive yang, that's right, because it's not only King Arthur. I brought all my props here, too. I also have, fast luck ointment. We need that. High John the Conqueror root oil, really essential, because High John the Conqueror is the great trickster redeemer of the South. Zora Neale Hurston wrote a fantastic essay about him. He is the trickster redeemer, again, everything we aspire to be, because he liberates. You know, like Scheherazade, the powerful woman storyteller, who through her eloquence liberates not only the women and the land, but liberates even the tyrant who has hardened his own heart. And in that way, High John the Conqueror also, you know, liberates those who are oppressed, but is willing to finish everything off with a laugh, you know, and willing to liberate even the tyrant as well. We're not counting on it, we're just willing. You know, and again, part of our trickster aspiration is to always leave room for others to behave in unexpectedly appropriate ways. You know, not counting on it, because expectation is the partner of disappointment. Oh, phooey, right? But willingness is the dance partner of life. And Uranus, the trickster, says to all of us, you know, I'm going to connect to all of you, you know, to the coolest things possible. Increased rate of synchronicity is, you know, now, here, stepping out the door into the rest of your life. You know, and all I want from you, says Uranus, is willingness. And we go, we are willing. We go, we are willing. We are willing. And we go, and see the backstage gods go, look at those humans. They've hoisted their sails of willingness. You know, now we can go. We go, ooh, there we go. So, you know, another thing, you know, in the way of ally etiquette is condescension. You know, and again, this is among our own team as well. You know, people going, oh, if you knew what I knew, you wouldn't have hope at all. And it's like, we do know what you know, and we just are more imaginative. Flag on that play, condescension, 5-yard penalty, decline back, you know. Because condescension means we all go down together. Con is with descend. We're descending together. So we go, you know, it's the many sneaky forms of colonialism and empire, all of which we want to throw into the cauldron. We say it's colonial to treat a colonial person with vituperative disdain, right? Because then you're snookered into the thing, you're becoming the thing that you decry. And it's also just, you know, Uranus Trickster says, we are big gods, we don't really care what you all do. We care the manner in which you do it, that it be from freedom and choice. You know, about language, you know, that we choose to use the word fight, you know, because we could use many, many other words, even though in full knowledge that when we use the word fight, our brain is completely metaphoric and it, you know, sends this hot rush of adrenaline through us, like, we go, right? We can choose to use that word, but, you know, for many others, we're not really going to fight global, you know, climate catastrophe. We're going to engage, you know, humans to cooperate with the evolutionary genius of nature. I know it's a little long, but we're all crafting together. So also the grammatical imperative, you know, do this, sit down, up. You know, we go, it's a little bit colonial, you know, as opposed to let's, you know, let's do this, you know. So into the cauldron as a possibility, I like throwing you into the cauldron and ladling out we. You know, we've all been bamboozled. We've all been conned. We're all up for this thing. Because when you get you, see, then you or you people, you know, oh, it's into trouble. So that's, you know, one fun thing. And I see the cats have completely confused my notes. Never mind that. I'm blaming it on the cats. There we go.
is it time to howl?
It is time to howl. It is exactly. So in keeping with democratic animism, which is, again, the re-wedding of activism with animism is so crucial, you know, and this comes from things that I carry with me all the time. Lakota Elder years ago saying, we Lakota did not hunt alone. We were talking about Stella Coyote in her youth. He said, those skilled would go into a reverie trance and negotiate a deal with the wolves and coyotes, and we would all hunt together for a season. And if you want to destroy a culture, destroy its capacity, shame it out of that capacity to cooperate across species borders, to form alliances with the water and the wolves and the coyotes. So I love that. You know, it's a part of all of us that kind of remembers this, too, of going into a reverie or a trance, you know, and emerging going, all right, it wasn't easy, but we got a deal. The coyotes want the front left leg of every other deer and half the liver, and the wolves are cool with that, and the deer are cool with that. All right, everybody back on stage. You know, this backstage, on stage, really useful. You know, backstage, the purpose of ritual magic, again, is to backstage, to waft into the memosphere, expanded wisdom and tolerance. And since we're in a Mercury retrograde, we get to redefine things. I love redefining the word forgive as to mean to give energy for change. Because then who or what could we not forgive if it means to give energy for change? You know, ourselves for using a styrofoam cup or small things or large things. And that idea of leaving room for others to behave in unexpectedly appropriate ways. Just, again, the example I often use is My niece had gotten divorced and was going to go visit really right-wing Christian parts of our family who strongly disapproved of divorce. And I go, well, just leave room, you know, for people to behave in unexpectedly appropriate ways, and even though it's not likely. You're not expecting, but you're just leaving room. And she did say, she goes, I'll try. And then she called and she said, well, that was really interesting. I drove up and they were on the porch with folded arms and dour gazes, and they said, as you know, we strongly disapprove of divorce. But he was so boring, and we're really very happy for you. Come on in. Come on in and have some pie. Right? We go, you just never know. You're just, again, leaving room because we are agents of liberating. You never corner a mugger. You always leave somebody somewhere to go. There's always an invitation. You know, we're moving our emotional default setting to woof, woof, want to play. You know, and if somebody doesn't want to play, it's fine. You can just keep moving. You keep spiraling moving. You don't, you know, because if you get all harumphy, then it wasn't really playful. You know, so it's like woof, woof, want to play. You know, and what was quirky, you know, and we wish it weren't true, but in Cleveland, the Republicans were much more playful. You know, crazy in a mob mind way. But the Republican women are like, love your hair, darling. You know, and whatever opens a conversation. You know, and in Philadelphia, the story policing was so tight, right? It was so tight. I got decredentialed. I understand completely, but they're like, no. You know, and even the Secret Service was like, it's the DNC's party, but they sure are thin-skinned, right? Mm. You know, and again, that model of teasing democracy into every fiber of our being and complexity of storytelling, you know, that, you know, there is no blame. We throw blame into the cauldron. There's a million stories of how we all got here to this giant, horrific, life-threatening kerfuffle, unfolding this incarnation of demonic, manifest American murderous vulgarity before us, like, you know. But part of it is, you know, the gods hold the good to a higher standard. You know, the Dementors go, we're up to no good, and they go, yes, you are. Go right ahead. You know, and people as agents of democracy going, we are embodiments of democracy, and you go, no, you aren't. You know, because part of what's coming out also, you know, is the way the DNC, you know, and the Clinton campaign were working. They had wonderful people on the ground, you know, who were, you know, who wanted to go to Michigan, and they cooked home-cooked meals, and they were on the bus to go to Michigan because they knew it was really important. And the headquarters of the Clinton operation in Brooklyn ordered them to turn around, going, no, you only obey us. You know, they go, but we have home-cooked meals, and we're halfway there on the bus. They're like, no, go back to Iowa, because we want to con Trump into worrying about Iowa. And they're like, ooh. You know, and you're not allowed to call the DNC. You're not allowed. And it's like, good grief, it's like some weird autocratic schoolmarm thing. And we go, no, that's not teasing democracy into every fiber, you know, of respect and how we collaborate. And we go, well, that's one story. The war on reverence, the war on the thing, many things, the being smoked on our own story. There's a million things, but it's more interesting to wonder and to know, you know, and again, finger waggy into the cauldron. You know, so the democratic animism, the other piece that I put with the Lakota Elder is my wonderful friend Robinette Kennedy disguised as a psychologist, but really powerful, teaches trance postures, many good things. Lives in Crete half the year. But she said, you know, in hunter-gatherer society, you know, and throughout the Mediterranean, she prefaced it by saying, you know, the concept of worship in the modern world is so degraded and infantile. You are great, now give me this thing. And she said, in hunter-gatherer society and in the Mediterranean, you know, there was great reverence and respect between the invisible, spirit world all around us now, and the incarnate world of tangibility. But she said, but it was a much more collaborative relationship, that the invisible seeks incarnational invitation as much as we seek communion with it. And that's what this time of year is especially about, the incarnational, you know, invitation, you know, for the hopes, for the trickster redeemer, for the citizen trickster redeemer to be born in all of our hearts. So this theme of democratic animism, again, the re-wedding of activism with, you know, it's again, all of the power of music, the power of language, the power of chanting, you know, in South Africa, in, you know, the chanting, the beauty, you know, what do we want? You know, better chants. When do we want them now? It's like, no, you know, the creativity to pour onto the streets, the trickster ingenuity, you know, you know, Vermin Supreme was part of the reason I got kicked out of the Democratic Convention. But he did really great work. He's an interesting satiric character in Cleveland. And there was a wonderful article that said, because of this clown, there was no violence in Cleveland. Literally. And so part of what happened was protester or protectors, and police on bicycles starting to hem them in. And he said, the first thing, and everybody keep this in mind, you know, when tyranny comes down, you got to disrupt that, because fear always plays to external, up to no goodness. And so as the police were circling in on, you know, bicycles, you know, he grabbed his microphone and he said to the police, remember to do it like we rehearsed it, lads, right? Which created confusion, you know, like, what story are we in? Disrupt the story. And then he goes, oh, and you cops on the left with your bicycles, you're not quite even. You're you know, and they all began to, whoa, okay. But and these people are doing it much better over here. Oh, there we go. And then he got the protectors in the street to chant, give the cops a raise, give the cops a raise. And they're like, wait, the story is being disrupted, the polarity is being disrupted. And when the you know, what is it, the Baptist Church, the horrible hate-mongering Baptist Church, the West what?
Yeah.
Westboro, that's right. Okay, so they were there too, going, you know, death to all, you know, drug addicts and homosexuals, and Vermin says, those are my voters, you know. And it cracks the cops up, right? And again, once, you know, laughter again creates intimacy, you know, and disrupts the tyrannical narrative. And so he was really good that way. And so that's also part of, you know, our skill set of disrupting when it comes down, having this, you know, cultivating these qualities of response and disruption of tyranny. Citizen trickster within all of us disrupts tyranny. So in the spirit of democratic animism, you have one more, you have Aya Bongo.
We're going to howl.
We're going to howl.
Yes.
We're going to howl.
So we're just going to do it. We're going to just do it a couple of times. So after I say Aya Bongo, Bongo Aya, we're going to howl. So let's do it. Aya Bongo, Bongo Aya.
Okay, so we have our special team of apprentice witches who are going to hand out instruments for us now. And while they're doing that, yes, quick, oh, wonderful witches, there we go, handing out musical instruments to the crowd. You can share. Because the longest night, the wheel is turning, what will we give to the night is part of our dynamic. Yes, so...
And I'm lending them to you.
Yes. These are being loaned. They want to go back into their basket before you leave. It's not party favors. These are being loaned. How wonderful. Yeah. And while they're being loaned, you know, think of things that you want to be gone with the night. You know, we've primed the prompt. You know, the electoral college is good. Autocracy is good. You know, greed, demonic possession is good. You know, you know, even while they're handing things out, you can think of things you want to throw into the cauldron that come to mind. You know, cruelty. Are you thinking of something, Meredith?
Yes.
Oh, what are you thinking of? Grumpiness.
Yes.
We can throw in grumpiness. Well, and also under everybody's chair, in an invisible way, you have something to take away with you, which is an invisible harumphitude composter. Because composting harumphitude is always good before attempting to communicate. Oh, and also while we have this fun filler, I did bring all of my props. There's a wonderful ally named Dory Midnight who makes these great things. So I will do this to myself, but think of it as telepathic. So she has boundaries in a bottle. Yeah, we're all going to need that, you know, around the city as well. You know, and also different witchy friends in Washington. We did you know, experimentally, you know, invite in, you know, may only those dedicated to collective well-being enter the White House or live there. And we go, they might not be able to move in at all. We try everything. Experiment. So boundaries in a bottle. And then just while we're waiting here, again, Dory has an excellent brew. I will take it on behalf of each one of us. It's called Witches, Bitches, and Hose Tincture.
Wow.
Okay, so I'm knocking that back for everybody. So what she says is, This is for protection, healing, and guidance of all shapeshifters, edgewalkers, dwellers between the worlds, revolutionaries, gender magicians, sluts, priestesses, healers, and witches. This elixir connects us to the invisible web of support from those who walked before and shines a light on our paths as we can walk with courage to bring healing to the broken world. It deflects projections, fear, and hatred, and cloaks us in a cape of radiant protection. All right, so you all have that to take away. Witches, bitches, okay. And hoes tincture. We all have High John the Conqueror mixed with fast luck, because, you know, why not? There we go. Okay, fast luck. Hi, John the Conqueror. Really good, again, that wise leadership, you know, that confronts tyranny and liberates everything. There we go. Very good. So, hi, John the Conqueror. That's the thing we want. Excellent. All right, so everybody has your instruments. All right, so we begin. Okay. The longest night, the wheel is turning. What will you give to the night? Grumpiness is gone with the night. Woo-hoo. The longest night, the wheel is turning. What will we give to the night?
Bondage.
The electric bondage. Woo-hoo, is gone with the night. The longest night, the wheel is turning. What will we give to the night? Hatred is gone with the night. The longest night, the wheel is turning. What will we give to the night?
Privilege
is gone with the night. The longest night, the wheel is turning. What will we give to the night?
Greed
is gone with the night. The longest night, the wheel is turning. What will we give to the night?
Fear.
The longest night, the wheel is turning. What will we give to the night?
Ice cream.
Speak for yourself.
All right. Yeah. Racism.
And we could say procrastination, but I'm not quite ready. Insomnia. Okay. All right. The longest night, the wheel is turning.
What will we give to the night?
Depression.
The longest night, the wheel is turning. What will we give to the night?
False news.
Shame
is gone with the night. All right, and then we'll do it one more time, and just everybody shout out everything all at once. The longest night, the wheel is turning. What will we give to the night? Tyranny, empire. Excellent. Well done. Well done, team. So now, what do we ladle out of the cauldron? We ladle out of the cauldron. I first heard this from Captain Cod, a wonderful homeless person in Berkeley, the Rumi quote. So we give this to everybody, especially to the incoming alleged. Because see, Jupiter Uranus, I'm not even seeing him inaugurated. We don't even know. It's just we're not expecting anything could happen. But we do have Rumi who says, stop, be still, and listen, because you're drunk, and we're at the edge of the roof. Right, so you got that thing done. So we're ladling out of the cauldron. Each one of us has, you know, Coyote tosses lightning, you know, at the closed circle and turns it into a liberating spiral. So everybody's got lightning. You've got your harumphitude composter, and you've also got lightning to be able to go, wah, to turn the circle into a spiral. That's really good, a revelatory spiral. And then, again, back to Aleppo, so many beautiful things and so many beautiful people, and visiting the caretaker at this Christian church, and he lived in this little humble room. There was like a nail for his comb and two hangers for his shirt, you know. And we were like, how are you? And he said, Mabsut Mazbut. I am content, of course. You know, how beautiful. And I do love, you know, there's many kinds of crazy, and Majnun means, you know, crazy, but we were taught it by a wonderful animistic Bedouin in the desert outside beautiful Palmyra. And he goes, because my friend Deborah said, how did you become this way? Because there were, you know, totems and magic things everywhere. And he goes, Majnun. You know, and Majnun, in a sense, means crazy for the divine. So we can say Majnun Mabsut Mazbut. Yeah. So Majnun, Majnun, Mabsut, Mabsut Mazbut. Majnun, Mabsut, Mazbut. There we go. Which means crazy for the divine content, of course. And we love also drawing from everything. You know, wonderful Mary Oliver, whose great poem, you know, I sing in praise of this, I sing in praise of that. And at the very end she goes, I sing in praise to the coyote that came at me with its strong teeth bared and then at the last moment smiled. Right? So we go, oh, no, no, which is why we're throwing non-useful dread into the cauldron, because some of it might be useful, you know, and ladling out, you know, our pluckiness, our pluckiness. Remember, we have our Yantan Tethera, many things to play with. And then Jupiter opposite Uranus, 20, 20, 20, the power of story. The power of storytelling, liberating stories, magnetizing stories, the stories we tell ourselves personally, the stories we tell ourselves collectively. So it is, you know, exact on December 26th, but it's all around now, this beautiful symmetry. Again, you know, the wild stories and what determines it, it's putting our hand on the story-stirring stick. There we go. The stories of, you know, sane reverence, you know, ingenious technology, ingenious, you know, again, culture of reverent Renaissance rising from the rubble. And it will be a theme through all of 2017 as Jupiter and Uranus dance together, full of wild turnabout. You know, and again, the energy that is liberated, Trickster loves the energy of discrepancy. And it's why there's this wonderful psychological study that said to the degree to which people are ironic is the degree to which they have the capacity for compassion. And we go, oh, that's surprising, because we think of irony as kind of a British bitter thing, you know. But to be ironic means to be holding at least two stories at once, right? Usually what is, what should be, or what is and what people are pretending it is, right? And the energy of discrepancy is something that Trickster likes because it's intrinsically liberating if we step into that. So we love that thing, and there's about to be a whole lot of people going, hey, wait a minute, you know, and again, available for the magnetizing story. And that's why, again, the veterans going to Standing Rock and Standing Rock was so powerful because everyone was invited, you know, and the powerful veterans saying, this is for, if you're a Republican, this is about small government and, you know, protesting against, or, you know, protesting, grabbing your balls and being against, you know, eminent domain. And if you're, you know, for what? This is for everybody. This is for everybody. Again, this is an, you know, he or she who tells the most inclusive story, you know, that's, that wins the infinite game. There's the finite game about winning, the infinite game about keeping everything in play. And just for the fun of it, so it's December 26th, March 3rd, May 19th, March 3rd, oh, something on the 30th, May 19th, Saturn trines Uranus. Again, disciplined wildness. It's the citizen trickster dynamic. And what I like, I mean, Jupiter says to each one of us, you know, through the power of synchronicity, we'll make you all wealthy by your definition of wealth, not limited to money. What do you want to feel like? What do you want to feel like to others? You write it, we'll book it. Jupiter and Uranus say, we're the part of the universal intelligence that does the booking. Do ordinary common sense things, but don't worry about how. You just tell us what, and you'll be amazed and amused at how happens. And part of what's as above, so below, Saturn, discipline, in harmony with Uranus, wildness, disciplined wildness, not a contradiction, what we call wild nature, incredibly disciplined. So I love that wolves and coyotes are mating. I've lived with a part wolf and I live with a half coyote. I know the cultures, they're quite different pretty well. But wolves will play every 30 minutes, even when they are hunted and even when they must hunt, they play every 30 minutes to engage their ingenuity, no matter what. But they're pretty Saturn. Everybody's got, you know, it's a pack with everybody's got a job. No, 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 no. Coyote's very Uranus, not so much a job. More, you know, the harmonious dynamic, again, an evolutionary advantage brought on by the pressure that we're putting on the environment, is to have the a supportive wolf pack that encourages our unique coyote, you know, ingenuity. And so that might be one of our definitions of wealth, to have the supportive pack and to be part of a supportive pack that encourages our own and other people's uniqueness, where uniqueness is spicy. You know, and part of what we throw into the cauldron at this time is, you know, we throw everything into the cauldron, nothing's so sacred that it doesn't want to be thrown into the cauldron, all spiritual teachings, everything. And with the criterion going, is it equal? Is it equal Mars and Venus? Is it equal men and women? Is it equal humans and the rest of creatures on all our relations? Can the truth be said without fear? Is the trickster welcome? Yes, we ladle it out. No, we throw it back in for another round of bubbling. Again, seeing things. You know, again, when you post on Facebook, you know, I mean, I have a number of pages and some are more civilized than others. But it's, you know, if you say anything good about almost anybody, people are like, and it's like churlishness into the cauldron, churlishness. Again, I love Esther Hicks, Abraham, whatever she's doing, saying we can't convince, which means to conquer, or persuade, or harangue, you know, but we can see people connected to their own wise autonomy. And it's a really good default setting to practice. In small skirmishes, people talking rudely in back of me at a concert that I really loved, and so you could tighten up and get into polarity, going shh, right? And then you're in this thing. And you're almost hoping for them to do the bad thing again, so you can, you know, you're in that dynamic. But if one goes, no, I see them connected to their own appropriate sense of decorum, and they quieted right down, you know. So it's, again, something to practice. You know, these are just part of our skill sets. The power of changing the story. You know, story rewrite, which is about going backstage, even in the midst of a crisis, and takes 2 seconds to rewrite the story. It's the thing I do often use, but it's so good, you know, again, our sourdough starter. But talking to somebody who years ago was running all the UN's refugee camps, and he talked about the most frightening moment of his life when the week before his colleagues had been kidnapped and murdered. I think it was in Zaire. He's walking back with colleagues, UN colleagues, and they're kidnapped. They're thrown into the back of a van with guys with AK-47s and bloodshot eyes, and they really thought they were going to die. But he said to his colleagues, we've got to change the story. We're not being kidnapped. We're being helped. So they began to thank their captors. Whoa, thank you so much for picking us up in this confusing environment. And their captors were puzzled, right? It's like Vermin Supreme, you're changing the story thing, going, you know, and liberating everybody from, you know, you're no longer, well, what happened was they locked them up and the captors, you know, said, don't worry, we're putting a guard outside so you'll be safe. And then 3 days later, let them go. So the stepping backstage, a powerful place, to go, story rewrite. We're no longer victims, now we're kind of hapless people. You're no longer murderous thugs harming random strangers. Tremendous abuse of creative power. Now you're heroes, you know, and we're grateful. Back on stage, right? So again, Jupiter Uranus, you know, it's a story I've told and hold because it's such a good one, but it's especially pertinent now about changing the story and woof woof wanna play. You know, and part of our dynamic, it's part of inviting in the magic, the powerful magic that comes in dangerous times. And that quality, you know, that we can all be kind of wolf-oates, combo animals, you know, to syncretize, you know, out of everything we love, our lives as spiritual detective novels, you know, so that every quirky affinity is a clue worthy of being honored. So whatever, you know, what is it to be human? What is unique about our species aside from our rudeness? And it may be our capacity to borrow qualities of intelligence from the flora and fauna, you know, of this earth. What plants do we have an affinity with? What animals? And how do we weave a kind of cloak of our own unique citizen trickster, you know, from that in collaborative cahoots? And always the default setting, I mean, the cooperators are standing by to invite in trickster, you know, whatever's best, you know, whatever's best in this circumstance, come on in. Poof. You know, it's also the wonderful, wonderful children's book, the Bunny Planet books by Rosemary Wells. Does anybody know those? Oh, they're really, really great. Oh, you know everything. That's great. Far beyond the earth and stars, 20 light years south of Mars, spins the gentle bunny planet, and the bunny queen is Janet. Come in, she says, for here's the day that should have been, right? And it's they're wonderfully drawn. They're good for children of all ages. And it's a little animal child who's had a terrible day, you know, and then going off to sleep, they go to the bunny planet, and they redo the whole day in rhyme as it should have been. And once I took it into the radio studio and read it on the air, for here's the news that should have been, right? We're all going to the bunny planet. It's like telling the horror movie backwards. And there was a wonderful general manager at KPFA at the time, kind of Eeyore-like and kind of dour, but he goes, "Those are my favorite books," he said. "And I was having such a hard day, I brought them into the studio, and you read them on the air." And we go, so we go, "Yes, that's so great." So the Bunny Planet also, time to go to the Bunny Planet. Time to change the story. Woof, woof, want to play. You know, these are all part of our dynamics. We love that as citizen tricksters getting ready to, you know, emerge from the cauldron. You know, and we go, may we all rise to the occasion. And we go, "Yes, may we all rise to the occasion. May we all rise to the..." We're in our finale here. "May we all rise..."
Yay!
Oh, wait. Okay, right. So first, before we do our finale kind of conjuring wonderful song, you know, is we have trickster aerobics, which is we wonder, right, without bonking your neighbor, we wonder, which turns our body into a beseeching chalice of magnetizing invitation. Whatever we wonder about attracts revelation. So we are wondering, and then we're willing. All right, that's our trickster aerobics. And here, Panga Alatia.
Okay, this is a play along and sing along.
There we go.
Panga Alatia, ashe ashe. Very simple words. Yeah. Panga Alatia, ashe ashe.
I literally have the death rattle. Okay, it's the death rattle. It's the death rattle to tyranny. And the last blessing of the evening, you know, the 60s had the power fist, right? So we turn the power fist into an open palm of blessing. Wah, wah, right? And it's the beautiful Amharic word, aizan, which means support and encouragement to embrace challenge when embarking on a dangerous journey. So we go, aizan. Aizan, aizan, to all of us who are hereby deputized as agents of the liberating citizen trickster, aizan, again, may all support and encouragement to embrace the challenge when embarking on a dangerous journey. Thank you all for doing this work. Thank you, Jackie. No, thank you, team. And Caroline Casey. Thank you. And go forth and thank you, Andy. Thank you, Andy Shalal. Again, great leader, activist, animist.
Yay!
Thank you very much.